fact, from the foundation of the world, from the foundation of the world, God had His plan for you. He had His plan to come and to include you. Amen? This is good. See, you need to come. That's why we come together once a week. Because if you, at least once a week, because you'll just forget. Huh? I mean, with all the stuff that goes on, I don't care if you're 10 or if you're 100, all the stuff that goes on in a day, just trying to get through, you'll forget that this world is not the end. This world is a hiccup. Amen? Just remember, this world is a hiccup. It's not very long. Oh, it seems long. It seems like this has been going on for too long. Well, it has. And God got tired of it. And he's ready to see it happen. But you know what? He's not willing to wait until Jesus comes. Amen? I said He's not willing to wait until Jesus comes. He wants this kingdom to be manifest in you today. He wants to show up in your life, in your head, in your heart. He wants to show up in you right now. So that's why we come. That's why we come together. He says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is," because so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, when the day is approaching, what do we know that's going to be happening? Is there's going to be a lot of trouble? There's going to be a lot of trouble at the advent, before the advent of Jesus Christ coming in His glory. And so we want to make sure that we encourage each one. And we can't do that on Sunday morning, can we? Because the people who are here are the people who are here. So when you leave, you need to go back and see so-and-so or call so-and-so during the week and say, "Hey, I noticed you weren't together. You weren't with us. Where were you? What were you doing? The saints were gathering together. What were you doing? Sleeping? Or were you, you know, were you rejoicing and feeding the poor? What were you doing? We were missing you, see?" And you want to remember to encourage one another during the week, not just say, "Well, so-and-so wasn't there. He must be sinning." Well, who knows? But the fact is that you want to encourage them. You want to build them up. This is what this kingdom is about. Is once you know that you're in the kingdom of God, you want to begin to manifest that and join together and see one another. In the book of Acts, it talks about that once they came in to the kingdom of God, they began to meet together annually. No. See, they began to meet together daily and from house to house. Oh, man, couldn't we just meet at the church? I don't want them in my house. You ever felt like that? You know, just, my goodness, do we have to have people over? No, he said they met from house to house. Now, I'll grant you that some people have more hospitality instincts than others. But you don't need hospitality instincts. All you need is the love of God. Amen? Well, we don't have a big enough room. I got news for you. They were knocking out walls in those days. They were knocking out walls. Amen? They were knocking out walls to bring things together, so that people could come into their homes to worship God and to so that they could encourage one another. It's not about having an event. Amen? Meeting together for the purpose of the kingdom is not about having an event that you have to impress somebody. It's just coming together to worship God together, to sing together, to hug one another's neck, and to encourage one another in the Lord. Amen? This is it. And we're learning what it is to live and to walk and to dwell in the kingdom of God. Because we are lovers of one another. We are lovers of one another. This is true. Man, I don't love that person. No, the fact is that you've got a flesh that kind of rebels against that kind of thing. Huh? I mean, you like the people you like. You like the people who like the things you like. Huh? Amen. Well, how about this? Jesus, He just come in here because of the love of God. It's not because of your love. Well, I'm just not like that. No, the truth is you are like that. You are because Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, has come to live in you. You have the same love that He has. Amen? You have the same love. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, the problem is you're going by your feelings. You're checking with what the Bible calls, you're checking with flesh. You're checking with old man to find out what new man is about. That's not God's idea. He says, check with me. You know, He began in John, the latter chapters of the Gospel of John, to explain to His disciples what was about to take place. There was a change. I'm going to go away. He said, I'm going to go away. Wait. Don't go. We're just getting this thing going. We're about to install you as the big cheese. We're about to install you as the king. You can't go now. The party's fixing to start. And Jesus said, no, you got the wrong idea. I'm leaving and you're staying. What are you talking about? I'm leaving, you're staying, but I'm going to send you another comforter. And he has been with you while you've been with me. He's been with you. You remember, you've been going out. I sent you out 70. I sent you out 12 to go, and you've seen the power of God happen. It wasn't just Jesus. It was his disciples, those who followed him. Anybody here following Jesus? All right. See, those people who were following Jesus, he gave them of the power that he was given and the authority that he was given, and he sent them out. So that's you. You're given of the same power and authority that he was given. Now, have they had that in a measure and in a taste just to see what the kingdom of God was going to begin to produce? Now, when he began that, he comes along here at the end of his ministry and he talks to them and he says, I'm going to be going away. Well, wait a minute. But I'm going to send you another comforter. He has been with you, like I mentioned with the times that he sent them out, but he shall be in you. And he says, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. Because if I don't go to my Father, the Holy Spirit cannot come. Why is that? Because he was all in Jesus. Every bit of him was in Jesus. The fullness of the Spirit dwelt in him. But now, when he went to the Father, he divided him up. He divided up the Spirit. He gave a measure to you, and he gave a measure to you. And he's giving a measure to every one of us who believe on his name. Amen? And he's baptizing us, immersing us in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing. That's how he's building his kingdom, because he lives and abides and is bringing you into the knowledge of the truth. Huh? Amen. He's bringing you into the knowledge of the truth. Well, I just don't seem to be getting it. And I understand that. I understand when you know, your mind is so filled with turmoil and trouble and tribulation, marriages and children and jobs and people and business and government and taxes, death, everything that is happening here. Because the enemy wants to come and get you entangled in the affairs of this life. And first thing he does to get you entangled with the affairs of this life is to get a hold of you in your head. Because this is where you've lived. You've lived here. This is all you have known. You have been raised in this world. You may have been raised in the church, raised in the power of the Holy Spirit, maybe yes, maybe no, or at least raised with the gospel. But yet this world keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. Every morning you wake up, the thing just keeps coming and keeps coming. But I tell you, you listen, come back to the Word of God, which is your promise that He is in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's His promise. Do not. It sounds like a work coming, but this is faith which is resident on the inside of you. When I say do not let the enemy steal the truth of the kingdom of God in its presence in this world right now in you. See, that happens. We get calls all week long about A, B, and C happening in somebody's life. We're not complaining, but the fact is that we're encouraging and bringing people in, walking you back in to the kingdom and to the mentality, to the thinking, because your thinking is messed up. Your thinking is still thinking of this world. Huh? Your thinking is, you're still thinking of yourself as just a people. And so much has been made of Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. One day Jesus is coming. Listen, the Holy Spirit is here now. Jesus is coming, but He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's going to produce that and He's going to produce it in you. And when you see sin, when you see a sin, when somebody points out a sin in your life, you take it to Jesus and you say, Father, I thank You that You forgive me. Not, Father, oh God, hope somehow, some way. No, He paid the full price for your forgiveness. Amen? So when that comes, don't get mad at the person. They're just crying out because they've been hurt and offended. Well, maybe they're immature. Well, yeah, maybe so, but maybe you sinned. Maybe you hurt and offended that weaker individual. Well, they're just weak. Yeah, amen. And what are you commanded to do with that weak one? Is you go to them and confess your sins. Confess your sins to them. Go to them in a spirit of authority. No, it says go to them in a spirit of meekness. Even if somebody else is crying out and they shouldn't be, and they should be maturing and growing up, you in a spirit of meekness, teachableness, humble humility, you go to them knowing that you're in the same boat. Tomorrow you're going to do the same thing, most likely. Something's going to happen and you're going to get caught. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you ever get caught? You know, you thought you were mature, and all of a sudden you get caught in sin. You know, hatred, anger, jealousy. You know, you just get caught, don't you? Amen. And again, listen, this is just flesh. Everybody say, just flesh. See, that's good. You need to minimize the authority and the power of this flesh, because Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit have all authority over this flesh. Amen? Jesus said, I give you authority. I have all authority in heaven and earth. You go. Now you go, because you're in me, I'm in you, you're under me. And so I've got all the authority, and I'm sending you in my name. Amen? And so that authority in His name not only includes all the world, but it also includes your mind, will, emotions, your actions, your flesh. It includes you. Amen? All that authority includes you. Do you know you have authority over your mind? Now, I understand. Again, there is a division that is made, that the Scripture makes, between soul and spirit. Soul is that part of you that is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That part of you that, again, as I said earlier, was raised in this world, and it knows how to flip on the light switch. It knows how to get mad when getting mad's important. It knows how to get hurt when getting hurt's important. You know I'm talking in foolishness, right? Your flesh knows how to sin real well. Your flesh knows how to get things done on its own behalf. If anybody's going to get me, I'm going to get them first. You know the golden rule. Get others before they get you. Amen? You know, that's how we believe, that's how we walk. You know, we claim the other, but we walk like, you know, do others before they do you, as Robert Moira used to say. And so God, though, is working in you a new kingdom. Amen? He's producing in you a new kingdom. You are walking, even though all of these things, all of these outward things are buffeting you day by day, and you are being knocked about, and there are days when you are feeling really down. There are days when you're feeling, everybody say feeling. Oh, you're feeling really bad. You're feeling really abused, really persecuted, really cheated. Amen? How many know that's a lie from the enemy? He's the father of lies. And the enemy comes, but nothing to do nothing but to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. And he comes with lies. And those lies are from the enemy of your soul. He is not your friend. He is not your helper. Many times he'll come with something that appears to be holy sounding. It'll appear to be righteous sounding. And it'll get your attention. And you'll be looking at yourself as if, wow, I have really done done evil and done wickedly and done bad. Truth is, that's the true part. The enemy will come to you with part truth and part lie just so you'll agree with it. Amen? If I went out to the garden and made some brownies and I got some flour and I got some cocoa and I got some sugar, but then I went out in the yard and got some dirt and I mixed it in there, it looked like brownies. But I think you eventually would be able to, after two or three or four of them, you might be able to tell something's wrong here. Amen? And there's all kinds of things the devil could put in those brownies. But I was just being kind. I just put dirt. Now, but the fact is that he's coming to make it sound like it's something that could be from God. See, those things which come in and attack you and cause you to stay on the bottom of the heap for days, for hours, for years, are not from Jesus Christ. Amen? If you've been under a burden for years, I'll tell you for days, if you've been under a burden for days, I'm going to submit to you that that is not from Jesus Christ. He comes to deliver you. Amen? He comes to set you free. He said, I came to set you free. The truth will set you free. He didn't say, I came to burden you. And he said, I came to take your burden. Amen? Didn't Jesus come to take your burden? See, when you see a sin, it's so that you can be unburdened. See, a sin is a burden, and he's come to unburden you. Amen. So he's coming to set you free. He's coming to unburden you. And so when you have that sense, or that understanding in your brains, that something is taking a hold of you and you cannot get free from it, you go to Jesus and I want you to start rejoicing and thanking Him for His forgiveness, thanking Him for His mercy that He has given you, that the love of God is yours to receive in every bit. Now, some of you, there's been things in your household and in your family, finances and circumstances that look like they're fixing to just take you completely out. Just take you completely out. I tell you what, listen. God is with you. If that thing gets taken all the way to the bottom, I don't know all the circumstances, but God is with you. Amen? He loves you. He will not leave. You have not seen the righteous forsaken. Now, a lot of people say, well, I've been forsaken. No, y'all. You just lost some of your stuff. You just lost some of the things that you were hanging on to, or some of the stuff that this world really counts as important. Now, is it important to have all these things? Clothing, housing, food? Yeah, absolutely. God said He's going to provide all those things. But if God were to allow that thing to go down, it's not that you have not been forsaken. You have not been forsaken. Because it's your heart, your soul, your strength by the Holy Ghost that He is building up. You will never lose. How many were persecuted for years in the kingdom of God and lost everything from the exterior? But they didn't lose their heart, didn't lose their soul. I tell you, God is going to build up His people. He's strengthening His people. I mean, we're in good times that people are losing things. What happens when persecution begins? Huh? Well, how come I'm preaching on this today? I don't even have any idea. It's not anywhere where I was going to go. Is hallelujah. See, God is going to see you through in everything because He's not wanting you to look at the natural or the human to be fulfilled and to be strengthened. I'm doing fine. But I need to not do fine. I need to be to say in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank You that no matter what may take place, no matter what may take place in the days to come, I'm prepared to die. I'm prepared to rejoice in losing everything for the sake of the gospel. See, we've become complacent, you know, in the West because we got everything. We got a Chili's on every corner, you know. Hallelujah. Got an ATM on every corner. You got everything. I mean, people around the world are dying. Pastor Jim and Peggy are probably in the air, I guess. I don't know, how long does it take to get to India? Anybody know? Anybody ever been there? Did you know they're flying over the North Pole? That ought to be cool. Never been there. 14-hour flight, see? I knew somebody knew if I held out long enough. 14-hour flight from where? Here? Over the North Pole? Oh, okay. 14-hour flight. Is from Dallas? Okay. That was it. Now, of course, they went to Chicago first, so I don't know how long they had a layover or whatever. But that was it. I'm betting they left about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon if they didn't have much of a layover from Dallas. And then went to Chicago. What's that, 2.5 hours? And then, so that's, what's that, 8 o'clock? I mean, say they left Chicago by 10 o'clock, and then it's almost 10 o'clock. That's 12 hours. So I guess they're in the air. They must be. Maybe they're in the air right now. So that's good. Amen. So they didn't even touch down. Maybe by the time we get out of here, they'll touch down, huh? Huh?
They lose a lot of time up there, too, because they're casting time.
Oh, that's right. I don't know if it's going to be today or tomorrow when they go. It'll be tomorrow, I guess, when they get there. Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, it'll be good. So anyway, what was I talking about? Anyway, so Pastor Jim and Peg, they're flying.
Even if we lose it,
I mean, you know, they're going on over there. There's nothing over there. Those people have nothing. They got dinner walking in the streets. You know, they got cows walking around the streets. They won't kill them, won't eat them, and people are starving. You know, number one, government's crazy, isn't it? Government is not founded on the gospel, not founded on the Word of God. You know, our government is a mess, but it still has some holdout that it had been founded on the promises of God for freedom, in that every man is under God alone, not under some king, not under some potentate. Every man is under God, and every man has the freedom to worship God and for the government to leave him alone. Amen? Why they moved here. Leave me alone. Well, that was God's idea. It wasn't just man's idea. Hey, leave me alone. It wasn't the radical, you know, it wasn't the Republic of Texas guys, you know, just leave us alone. No, it was God's idea. And government decided that they wanted to have a little tighter rein on you. You might get free. And besides that, you're making too much money, so we'd like to get some of it. We got some good ideas. We're gonna help the poor in your name. Well, you know why? Because you weren't helping the poor. Amen. See, when you're born again, what I get back to, we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. People forget that. Now they decide the government's taking all their tax money, they'll just let the government take care of it. That's not a good idea. You start letting the government take care of somebody else, they're going to start taking care of you, whether you like it or whether you don't. So you're giving yourself away. You're giving yourself away. That's what people have done for eternity. Eve gave herself away. She wanted to have her own understanding. She wanted to have her own knowledge. She didn't want to be under God. We decided we didn't want to be under God. You know what? It's better to be under God. It's better to be under God. You're not that smart. Number one, God didn't make you that smart. Well, brother, that's not very nice. No, the truth is you weren't designed to operate. Is your car designed to operate without gasoline? Huh?
No.
You know what? You're not designed to operate without the Spirit of God. You're not designed to operate without God. You are a clunker without God. You ever heard a car that's got water in the gas tank? That's you. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot operate. You cannot function. You were not designed to function outside of the presence of God. Hallelujah. And God is coming to restore His kingdom. And that's what He began to do. From Genesis chapter 3, He promised a kingdom. He promised His deliverance. He promised that He was going to bring about the kingdom of God again. Amen? Let's look over at, you remember the scripture in Isaiah chapter 9. that he said that he's going to bring unto us a son is given, a child is born, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Next verse is of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And the kingdom of David will be forever. The kingdom of David will be forever. Let's look over at Daniel for a minute. Daniel chapter 7. Verses 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, this is Daniel speaking during in one of the visions that the Lord had given him. And he's speaking here about the end of days after the horn, after the little horn has come up, the little ruler. And after all these things were accomplished, and that it says in verse 12, that as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. What do you think that is? The same way Jesus, he was taken up into a cloud, you remember? And he said, and the angel said, why are you men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking up into heaven? This same Jesus will come in the same way in which you saw him depart. How's that? In a cloud. So he says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds. Sounds like Jesus to me. With the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. The Ancient of Days, of course, being Almighty God the Father. Elohim. Verse 14, and there was given him, that is, the Son of Man, dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. This is the kingdom that at the last day, this is the kingdom that shall never be taken away. Look at verse 22. Verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. It's that little horn again. That guy's a pesky fella. He made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now we could talk about Daniel, we could look at all the stuff that looks like trouble coming. But let's go to the end of the book. Let's go to the end, you know, is that when the Ancient of Days came, the saints possessed the kingdom. Now the saints is not because you're anything, it's because your Savior is something. It's because of Jesus. Verse 27. Look at verse 27. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. It's all unto God. It's all unto the end. It's all unto God. But I tell you today, for you and me, as those who are of the kingdom, it's for you and me to be put under that kingdom today. We are His regents. We are those who are the authority under Christ Jesus by the Holy Ghost. Remember what Jesus said, all authority is given unto me, go ye. That means go in my authority, go in my strength. See, you're not nothing in Christ Jesus. You're not weak in Him. Amen? You are in fact strong in Him. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So the things that we are I'm teaching you today is to bring these things into your remembrance. It's continually taught by the apostles to always bring these things into your remembrance. It's incumbent upon the pastors to bring you into remembrance and to not be lax, to not be just helping you along to have some kind of a make this life the best it can be. There's a lot of that going around. Amen. Make this life the best you can be. Let's be the best you can be. We don't hear much about the kingdom of heaven. We hear about having to have a better, get a better marriage, how to get a better financial situation. All of these things, how to make this life better. Jesus isn't into making this life better. He doesn't mind taking care of your physical needs and while you're here. He's not going to worry about it. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things, you'll have them. All these other things, you'll have them. But the problem is, we're seeking the other things and not seeking Him. Amen. We're seeking the other things and not seeking Him. If you'll seek Him, all the other things will come. If you'll seek Him, you'll get your husband. If you'll seek Him, you'll get your needs met. If you'll seek Him, you'll get your wife. Or you won't care. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. See, the thing is, He's going to give you the desires of your heart, but He can't give them to you if you're never around. Some of you, that just went right over your head. If you're not in the presence of God, He can't give you new desires. Oh, you've got the same old ones, the same old lust of the flesh you ever had. Amen. Huh? I believe He's not only going to give you the desires of your heart, He's going to give you the desires of your heart that you desire. He's going to change your desires. He's going to change your water. Amen? Because your water's broken. Did you know that? I mean, it just wants stuff to consume. He said, you just want to consume it all. He said, ask what you want. But the problem is you don't get what you ask because you're asking amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. So how come you're not getting anything? I'm standing in faith, brother. Well, I don't care what you're doing. I'm standing on one foot in faith. You know, I'm faithing it all the way. Well, yeah, you may be faithing it, but you may be faithing it in your own desire. You know, seeking the kingdom of God. Let Him put desires in your heart. Amen? Quit looking at your own list. Lay your list down. God told Moses to lay your rod down. Where's your strength? I got this. What do you got in your hand? I got this rod, staff. This is what I use to, do my business. Lay it down. And then he becomes a snake. He lays his rod down. What happens to it? Oh, my gosh. And he ran from the face. He said, Moses ran from the face of it. Yeah, he went and hid behind a rock. But he found out what his strength was. His strength was no more than evil, wickedness. The things that he trusted in were no more than evil and wickedness. His own strength was no more than evil and wickedness. How about you? Do you count yourself as being strong and well able and well capable? Or did you think that the person who you were admiring and worshiping as somebody who was something, perhaps, had something? They have nothing. They have nothing. Don't look at men or people as if they were to have something. Amen? He said, be strong in the Lord, not be strong in your admiration of somebody. Sure, he said, well, give honor where honor is due. Well, that's fine, but it doesn't mean give worship, adoration, where it's not due. You ever seen People magazine? You ever seen that? You get every ridiculous person in the face of the planet on that magazine. Most magazines do. Most magazines are highlighting some person about, what some thing they've done in whatever category that you're impressed by. Huh? Don't be impressed by people. Amen. Well, you're thinking he's talking about TV programs. Well, I'm talking about sports figures. You know, this is a spiritual congregation. Why am I talking like this? I mean, you people all know better. Amen? But you know what? We get sucked into things. We start thinking things in our heads. We start honoring people, honoring, and the fact is that when you're honoring people, when you're worshiping people, go ahead and say that, when you're worshiping people, when people are impressive to you, then you begin looking at people. There are other people whom you despise. Maybe you're a busy being a despiser of people. You know, you're not an admirer of people. Maybe you're a despiser of people. Hey, he's an idiot. Oh, that person's no good. You know, you have no love for anybody. Amen. Anybody like that? Well, you kind of love your own family. But I mean, everybody else is just, you know, garbage and junk. And no. Seeking first the kingdom of God. That is, you're looking to Jesus for your opinions of people. Amen? Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says that we don't behold anyone after the flesh. We don't look at anyone after the flesh, whether good, whether evil. We look at no one after the flesh. I'm talking about what? The kingdom of God. Why? Because as Jesus came, he came preaching the kingdom of God. John said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's now. The kingdom of God is after Jesus dies and comes back. No, that's not what John said. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus went about doing the same thing. He said, went preaching the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. You know what that means? Right there. It's right out here on your hand. It's right out here. It's almost at you. It's right with you. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's now. And so if the kingdom of God is at hand and now, then Jesus came as a demonstration of that kingdom. Now, you're not going to copy Jesus, but what he's going to do is put his Spirit on the inside of you. He's an example, but he's an example of what the Spirit is going to perform. And he's performing it in you. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. He's performing it in me. He's producing the kingdom of God in me. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, yeah. I'm ready, but it's just like I seem to keep falling down. See, on Sunday morning I'm ready, but on Monday, there's a song somebody says that, you know, on Sunday, you know, I really want that revival, but on Monday I can't even find my Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I mean, do you ever notice your mind changes between Sunday and Monday? You know, all of a sudden it's back to the grind. Amen? And what you want to do is you want to get before God and not have a grind. No more grind. Lord, thank you that I have no more grind. Do you know you're filled with the Holy Ghost, so every day is a day of ministry? Look at me, I'm messing this stuff up over here. I need to leave stuff alone. Every day is a day of ministry for you. Every day is a day of throwing down your nets. Do you notice those guys threw down their nets, but they picked up new nets? Peter, when Jesus came, John and James, they threw down their nets. But then at the end, they ended up throwing out their nets, became fishers of men. Not fishers in church, but fishers of men. The ministry that you have is not in the church, even though you might do something on Sunday. That's to the brothers and sisters. It's a ministry among the brothers and sisters. But your ministry is to everybody that you know. Your ministry is everybody you work with. That's your ministry. Well, maybe I could witness to somebody, you know, in my life. We have compartmentalized. We have a life separate from the gospel. Mission is going on the mission field. Mission is going down to the soup kitchen. Mission somehow is not, you know, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you're doing, whether you're retired or working or doing the house or whatever you're doing, is that God has with you His Spirit to minister love, to minister His life, to speak the gospel, to speak truth. Hallelujah. See, even Nehemiah, these books that we're studying this year about the restoration of the kingdom of the people of God. They had lost their vision because they were out and living in Dallas. They were living in, you know, New York City. They were living in the big town, Babylon. Man, you know, they had Chili's on every corner. You know, they had Starbucks. They had everything. Amen? See, God then began to move them back in His crummy neighborhood. Of course, in the day, it was an awesome neighborhood. But the kings of the earth had destroyed that neighborhood. But miraculously, let's look over at Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. Say what? Is it to the right or the left? It is to the left. Turn left. It's before the Psalms, right after Second Chronicles. It's really very, very powerful. See, these guys had been for 70 years, they had been in captivity. And the book of Daniel, we can find out exactly how these things took place. That, as you remember in the book of Daniel, that Daniel was out there, and King Belteshazzar, the son of of Nebuchadnezzar, was in there. And he'd taken all the vessels out of storage to, hey, we're going to toast to our gods with the vessels of the God of the Jews. And so he began to do that, and then there was a finger that began to write on the wall. It says, well, you're done. Your kingdom is over. And so then the Persians came in. And it says, in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, here at the book of Ezra. In the first year of the king Cyrus, the king of Persia, verse 1, chapter 1, that the word of the Lord... The word of the Lord, didn't say it, little L, it wasn't his God. It wasn't the God of the Persians. You know, now does anybody know where Persia is? Anybody know what Persia is? It's Iran. That's right. Persia is Iran. Not Iraq, but Iran. Babylon was actually Iraq. And where Baghdad is, it's just west of there, like more in the center, but still close to the rivers of Tigris and Euphrates, was the city of Babylon. Of course, right in that whole area there between the Tigris and Euphrates is where Eden was. Amen? So all that area is an area that is well known in the Scripture. Now, Iran, which is off to the east, is Persia. And now this is the kingdom which came across the river. They dried up, they dammed up the river and came across that river and stole into the city of Babylon and took it over. So now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, who had now taken over that area, and now he had taken over the city of Babylon, and that's where all the Jews were living, and they were living in that city of Babylon. And he says this, that the word of the Lord, that is God, our God, by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. The Lord came to Cyrus, king of the Persians. And he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house. Well, go figure. Look at that. Could God do that? Could God take a heathen king, speak to him, and stir him up to build a house for the people of God, for their God? And he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among all you of his people? He's not talking about his people, he's talking about God's people. Hey, you people of God out there, are y'all out there? Interesting. There's a question for you, isn't it? Are you out there? Who's out there among all of his people? Hello? Anybody here? Who's out there among all of his people? You've been in bondage? You've been in the city of Babylon? You've been in the city of Dallas? City of Fort Worth is sneakier. The city of Fort Worth over there, you know, is sneakier. I mean, you think you're in the cow town. You think you're in kind of a no man's land over there. Over here, you're kind of sure you're in, you know, Babylon. But over in Fort Worth, it's kind of, we can probably get by. Boy, it's a sneaky place because it's just as bad. It's probably worse. How many know Fort Worth is worse than Dallas? Now I'm going to ask the other question next week in Fort Worth. Who is there among you, all of his people? His God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God. Oh, this is powerful to have that guy talk. You know, it's kind of like they didn't even know their own God. They were over there just twiddling their thumbs. They were at Chili's and Starbucks, and, you know, all of a sudden here comes this announcement, headline in the paper. Yahoo headline right on the internet, you know. You ever do that? You pop up the headlines on your computer there, and you just, everybody like me, that's how you get the news half the time. The headline's on there. The guy said he's the God, which is in Jerusalem. That's so powerful. That's so awesome. He is the God. Okay, now look here. So what he's saying here is God has moved upon the kings of the earth in this particular case to build him a house, to build himself a house. God's establishing his kingdom. He'll do what he needs to do to establish his kingdom. And he's going to come and he's going to speak to you to establish his kingdom. Amen? Who's here? You're going to read this thing. Who of you, of all of his people, God be with him? That God's with you. Anybody God with you? You know that God's with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Susan, that's good. Amen. Zona. Pam, now we got any men? You got women over here. You got a bunch of women raising their hand. Praise God. You know, God's with you. Amen. Now, where are you talking Old Testament? Yeah, fine, I'm talking Old Testament because the Old Testament and New Testament are the same except for the law in the middle. Amen? How many know Abraham believed and it was counted to him for righteousness? It's by faith. Anybody following God is by faith. The people in the front of the book were looking toward the sacrifice coming in the middle. And the people like you and me at the end of the book are looking back to the sacrifice in the middle. Everybody's looking to Jesus. Everybody's looking to the sacrifice which is made. And since now is the time that we live in this day, that everybody looks to the sacrifice. Even though the Jews have messed it up and said, okay, you know, because what they did, see, they began, because they didn't have a temple, that's where all this stuff started, we're going to work it out where to be able to keep ourselves. We're going to keep our religion. We're going to keep this thing going somehow. So we'll just make it cleaning dishes and eating no pork. You know, we're going to make it, you'll kind of make it up as we go. And that's what they began to do. They began to write, well, Rabbi so-and-so says, and Rabbi so-and-so says. So all it was about was not about the word of the Lord. And these prophets, the prophets were speaking in this day. Jeremiah, Zechariah, they're all speaking in this day and declaring. But the people are stuffing their fingers in their ears. They're enjoying Chili's and Starbucks. But there's a people God has. There's a people God has. And then eventually the Jewish people, which is in that day, that's you, the people of God, they began to just kind of write their own. They began to write their own scriptures. They began to write their own Talmud, their own way of thinking. Here's the way we think. Here's the way we worship. Because we don't have any of our stuff. No, we don't have our temple. We can't sacrifice. They won't let us sacrifice. They won't let us praise God. They don't like it when we do that. They like it when we show up at Starbucks. But they don't like it when we, you know, worship our God. Even in our nation, people don't like it when you got the Ten Commandments up. People don't like it when you cry out, you know, that you want to worship your God. You notice that? I mean, that freedom was bought by the kingdom of God. The freedom that we have here was bought by the kingdom of God. However, now we're doing okay. We're going to kick the guy out because he's squishing us. He's cramping our style. Huh. Same thing here. See, there were those in that nation of Babylon, they kind of liked this. Man, it's pretty good. There's no God here. They got kind of little gods, you know, you kind of little stick figures, like those action figures, you know, you get at the toy store. You know, the action figures of the guys are on TV, you know, Hercules or whoever. You know, they like that kind, the kind you don't have to do anything with. You just put them up on the wall and there they are. They like that kind. They don't like a God who gets to tell you how to live. I tell you, we want that kind of God. Amen? You want God to take over. I want Him to take over. You know what? He has. If you've received Jesus, He has already taken over. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. He will lead you. He will speak to you. He will guide you. When you have trouble, when you have all of these things coming at you and upon you, which cause you to just feel like, I will never make it. Again, like we talked about earlier, husbands, wives, children, co-workers, all this stuff. Troubles. Paul talked about perils within and perils without. Perils on the land and perils on the sea. Is that you? Got perils everywhere? Not pearls, perils. That means trouble. So God's with you. Even when it's troublesome, trust Him. Encourage one another. Build up one another. You don't see somebody here, call them, encourage them, build them up. They're not here because they're sinning. They're here because they're weak. They may have fallen into sin, but I tell you what, they need your call. They need you to go see them, call them, talk to them. Look around. Who's not here? I better call Pastor Jim. He may be crying somewhere. I think he is. I don't think he wanted to go to India. I think he'd rather stay here. But I'm serious. We have people who are hurting in their flesh, and it's incumbent upon you and me to build them up by the Spirit. Amen. Not because we're good, not because we're anything, but because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. We're a body. We're a body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're a body. We have need of one another. Well, I don't really need that person. They kind of bug me. Praise God. Call the person that bugs you. Amen? Well, they're always whining, crying, hurting. Well, call them up. Bless them. They need you. Amen? Hallelujah. It's the love of God that's flowing out of you. It's the peace of God. It's the mercy of God. You're the demonstration of Jesus Christ. You know what I'm reminded of is that Jesus, when they brought the woman caught in adultery, He said, could have said, yeah, boy, that is evil and that is wicked. You guys are right. We need to stone her right now. That's not what He said, because that wasn't the point. The point was these people accusing her were the people who were just as guilty. Somebody said, when Jesus stooped down to write in the sand, He was writing the name of every man that was standing there who'd been with her, starting with the oldest to the youngest. That's why the oldest started leaving. They threw their rocks down and left, because Jesus knew exactly who they were and what their sins were. Now, I don't know if that's true. That's a good story. But I tell you what, whatever He wrote, it made an impact. Whatever Jesus wrote in the sand, it made an impact. Amen? Then He said to that woman, He said, where are your accusers? They're all gone. Nobody here. Does that make you weep? Does me. Because Jesus forgave me. And He got rid of all of my accusers. How many know all your accusers are gone? They've all been run off of their own, by their own sins. Jesus didn't kick them. He didn't throw them. He didn't have a big fight with them, did He? He just wrote in the sand. All of your accusers are gone. Those who have accused you are gone because He loves you. He loves you. He is not accusing you. He is not angry with you. First thing I said this morning, how many know that God's not angry with you? That He's not an angry judge. He's a loving Father. He loves you. He's your Father. And He's come to redeem you. He's come to buy you back. He's the same father that ran to meet the son who had squandered the inheritance. Whether you know it or not, that's you. Maybe you think you've done okay. Maybe you think that, you don't deserve the trouble that you've got. Believe me, you do. In your flesh, you deserve every bit of trouble and more. You deserve what? What do you deserve? Death. You deserve death. But Jesus came and he bore all your sins. He bore all your burdens. He loves you. He loves you. He loves me. And see, he's now that he's demonstrated his love to me, he's also filled me with his Spirit and now caused me to walk in his same shoes. He's causing me to walk in his same shoes. I walk in the shoes of Jesus. Just because you haven't done it right, just because you haven't pulled it off and done it excellently, I tell you, God is looking for those who will go. Who will hear. He's looking for everyone. His desire is that every one of you come to the knowledge of the truth and that you come to such a knowledge of the truth that your sins are no longer burdening you and keeping you on the ground. I mean, there are days, sometimes you guys just are overwhelmed by your own inadequacy. You are wholly inadequate. Stand up and shout on your chair. I am completely inadequate. You know what? That's the kind that God uses. Because you're not dependent on your own ability. You're not dependent on your own strength. Whosoever remains, it says, who here is among you of all of his people, and God be with him, who will go up to Jerusalem. Let's go up. Let's go up. You know, a lot of the folks there just probably were convicted, but they just didn't feel like they could get themselves up. Because they were too beat up, too worn down, they just failed God for too long. Anybody like that? You felt like you failed God for too long. I mean, he's just really not interested in me. He's not interested in me. No, I tell you, God is very interested in you. He loves you. And his desire is to see you in full occupation of everything that he has given you. And it's only by belief. That's it. It's not by doing anything, moving anything, making a big strong stand. It's by saying, Jesus, every day, in the midst of all of your horrible situation that you have to deal with, I'm saying that from you out of your own mouth. Now, this is my horrible situation. Is in the midst every day, and this is to say that I belong to him, and there is no lie of the enemy that will steal that truth. There's no lie of the enemy that will steal the truth that if God be for me, who can be against me? And everything is against me. And the devil will give you a list of things that are against you, amen? Won't he? He'll give you a list of things. You might have two, and he'll say, well, here's five more, just to encourage you. Amen. Huh? You ever done that? You start making a list, it just gets longer. You only had two things. You only had two complaints, and the devil will add five. Because he wants you to be depressed. He wants to take you down on the ground and stomp you. You ever feel like you've been stomped? By disease? By hurts and aches and pains? Hallelujah. I wasn't going to tell you about, the shoulder's messing with me. It's an ache and a pain. I believe in healing. Amen? Well, it sure is hard to take a shower with this thing. I find myself walking around with my arm lifted up like this so it doesn't, I don't know why that's better than this. Amen? Now, the reason I'm telling you that is because there's an ache and there's aches and pains. There's things you can complain about. There's troubles that you can complain about. There's people that you can complain about. Amen? In this world, Jesus said, you have trouble, but be of good cheer. Because I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. You're in the world. Jesus, back in the Gospel of John where he promised the Spirit. He said, the world's going to hate you. The world's hating you. And that includes the enemy who's going to come and bring stuff against you to hate you even further. It's not Jesus that's hating you. It's not the Father that's hating you. It's this world that you've worshipped. It's hating you. The devil wants you to worship the world, and then he'll have it disappoint you. Amen? Anybody been disappointed by this world? Good. You need to be disappointed by this world. It has nothing. This world has nothing. This world is passing away. This world is passing away. The only thing that's real is his kingdom. You remember what we read over there? It's the kingdom that's going to be possessed of the saints. It's the kingdom that Jesus is preaching, that John is preaching. That these people, the people of God, are rebuilding in Ezra. Interesting thing he says here, verse 4. Whosoever remains in any place, if you stay in home, whoever remains in any place, as Ezra 1:4, where he sojourns, let the men of his place, let those local people, help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts besides the free will offerings that are going for the house of God that's in Jerusalem. Hope we gave some money to help Pastor Jim on his trip there. He's going out to, you know. So he says, the guys who are going, bless them. Take care of them. If you're staying home, take care of them. Bless them. If they're going to build the house of God, bless them as they go. That's powerful. That's awesome. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin. So some of the people were staying home. And the priests and the Levites and all those whose spirit God raised up. Whose spirit God raised up. God will raise your spirit up to do something. Amen? To go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were with them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver and gold. They gave them stuff. With gold and goods and beasts and precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. In other words, the material. Besides the materials, they blessed the workers. And then Cyrus brought all the vessels out of the storehouse. All the vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, Cyrus brought all that stuff out and said, here, take that with you too. It's powerful what God is doing. When God is making provision for his house to be built, who's his house? Anybody know? You. You're his house. This is the house they were building in the Old Testament for the sacrifices, to begin to remind the people to keep them in remembrance. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul said, it's my job to put you in remembrance of these things. So it seems like we've all heard these things before. Amen? But it's our job to put you in remembrance, to cause you to meditate upon these things. To cause you to meditate upon these things, to think on these things. Look over at Matthew chapter 5 and we'll close. We're going to be receiving the Lord's Supper this morning. So you want to prepare, because that's a meal of the king. That's a kingdom meal. That's a covenant meal. Amen? It's a kingdom meal. This shows us who we are. This shows us that we're been brought into the kingdom. This shows us that this we're of our citizenship. We're living in that kingdom. It was bought with his blood. We are living in the kingdom of heaven. You must remember. I'm bringing this to your remembrance right now. This world is passing away. Your life is not about this world. Your life is about the kingdom of heaven. Your ministry is before all men, all women, all people. So Jesus was preaching the kingdom of God, and he went about healing, verse 23 of the prior chapter, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I'm sorry, I backed up about four or five verses to chapter 4. We are in Matthew 5, back up to 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. How many is that you? Hallelujah. All manner of sickness and all manner of disease, preaching the kingdom. That's what he was doing. That's what you're doing. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him to the sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils. How many know you're casting out devils? Well, I'm afraid of devils. No. You're not afraid. You have all authority. And those which were lunatics, and those who had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, I always like this, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. Seeing the multitudes, he came down to greet them. No, seeing the multitudes, he hightailed it up into a mountain. Multitudes have a hard time making it up the mountain. And it was his disciples who came to him. You need to read this right. So when Jesus was there, he saw the multitudes coming, and he went. Yeah, he went the other way. He went up into a mountain, and when he was set, so he sat down, his disciples came to him. So who was with him? Who was with him? Disciples. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, who did he teach? Well, how about that? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who look bad. Look like they got nothing and trouble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they. Happy are they. In other words, they don't look happy. You don't look happy. He says, happy are you? No, you're misinterpreting my face, Jesus. My face is sad. My face is melancholy. You see, that would be the answer of the apostles, wouldn't it? That would be the answer of people. That would be my answer. No, you're misinterpreting my face. Huh? My face is sad. Hopeless. Jesus said, no, happy are you. You're happy. No, I'm not. See, you need to agree with Jesus. Amen? Anybody need to agree with Jesus? Huh? I mean, a lot of people, you want to argue with Jesus. I'll tell you, I'll argue with the guy. I'll argue with him. But the thing is, I know the difference between my flesh and my spirit. And so I know that my flesh is the arguer. Now, sometimes it'll get my goat a little bit. And I'll think, and I'll just forget about spirit altogether. Amen? Anybody like that? You just forget about spirit altogether. Well, today I'm just going to live in flesh. No, I want to live in spirit. I want to live. Somebody's going to spank me. I hope that bulb didn't go out, Jack. Yes. No. I lost my place now. That was good preaching too, wasn't it? No, the fact is that I see and I know that I'm running away from the Spirit. And that's wicked, you know? That's sinful. Because all that's going to do is destroy me. Amen? When I choose to live in my flesh, it's destroying me. When I choose to follow after the sin that I want to go do because I just want to get away from you, or I want to get away from what God's saying, that's flesh. And I must, by remembrance and by establishment in the truth and in the Word of God, know that I am of the kingdom of heaven and I am not of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, all of these things that come to me and try to get my goat, they're not mine. I don't want them. All the anger, all the hatred, all the jealousy, all the envy, all of these things are of the flesh. It's the liar. It's the enemy of my soul coming in to destroy me. And for me, it's incumbent upon me, it says, let not these things dwell in you. But put in remembrance those things which you have been taught, he tells Timothy. Bring those things into remembrance, those things which you have taught, those things which you have both heard and learned and seen and received of me. See, this is what builds you up. The other will just destroy you, tear you down, cause you to fall into the living in the flesh. I tell you, live forgiven because Jesus Christ has forgiven you, because your Father loves you. Happy are you. Happy are you. Happy are the poor in spirit. No way. No, yeah, really. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are them that mourn. Well, they look mournful to me. Or look at yourself in the mirror. You're mourning. Happy are you that mourn. No, shut up. Leave me alone. Happy are you that mourn, for they shall be comforted. See, this is a contradiction, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't this a contradiction? Because God does this all the time. You say one thing, He says something else. But you know what? He's right and you're deceived. So He's trying to tell you something to let you know that there's hope. His word of encouragement is a word of hope. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. When everybody was against him, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen? Are you encouraging yourself in the Lord or depressing yourself in the devil or depressing yourself in the flesh? I'm down and I'm pushing myself lower. No, God's not into that. Amen? God's not into depressing you and putting you lower. We can read on and keep going. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. A lot of people don't want to be meek, teachable. Not the big cheese. Happy are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness and you hadn't been filled recently. It looks like things are running out. You'll be filled. Happy are you that are merciful. Nobody likes me. Nobody cares. No. They shall obtain mercy. Nobody cares how much I've done. I've given myself away. A lot of people have given themselves away in the name of the Lord. Amen? You've been merciful and haven't received anything back from people. Say, God's going to, you're going to receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Happy are they which are persecuted. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the fact that He said, happy are you when all these things come against you. Last one. Blessed are, happy are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For they persecuted the same way the prophets who were before you. Happy are you. Amen. Happy are you. Say, happy am I. Happy. Woo, amen. Amen, you are happy. Remember you're happy. See, a lot of you forgot. Amen. You forgot you were happy? Hallelujah. All right, we're going to receive the Lord's Supper. Anybody who's, those guys who are serving it, if y'all come up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your kingdom. We thank you for the mercy that you have shown. We thank you, Lord God, that you're reminding us, causing us to remember, causing us to know of the things that you have performed in us through Christ Jesus and by your Spirit, that He lives in us and dwells in us. And we thank you, Lord God, that your mercy, that your mercy is just manifest to us in great and mighty ways. And Father, we remember these things. Happy are we. I thank you that the kingdom of God is now. The full manifestation of that kingdom will occur when Jesus Christ comes in the earth. And we worship you and we praise you and we thank you for the kingdom right now that we stand in, live in, exist in, have hope in, joy unspeakable and full of glory belongs to us, belongs to me because of Jesus Christ. And we give you praise and thanksgiving and honor. Lord God, thank you that you've delivered us. Thank you that you've caused us, that you do give us desires of our hearts that are different, that are new than the desires that we had in our old flesh. That we live in your kingdom. That we are walking together with you. Thank you for this meal. Cause us to know that we have been made righteous and that our sins may be forgiven as we receive and as we confess and receive that forgiveness right now in this hour. That we should not take of this meal unworthily, in an unworthy manner, as if we were sinful and still of the flesh. But we have been made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we take this meal as members of his house and of his kingdom. Hallelujah. Go ahead. If I'm right, we have wine on the outside ring. Wine in the middle. We changed that. We changed it. Wine in the middle and grape juice on the outside. Just if you have a preference.